Greetings, Arizona. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. And we've got a show today with Dennis Korn, who's the founder of Alpenair Food Reserves. We're going to be talking about some interesting stuff. I've got it posted on the Cosmic Love webpage for this day, May 8th, 2010. And if you're listening to it in the future, it's in the archives for this day. And in the subject we're going to kind of keynote with is preparedness, imminent pole shift within a year, if that's true. And why aren't more people preparing if it is? Now, Dennis, are you there?
Yeah. Hi there, Christopher. Yeah, I'm here.
I thought I'd create a little drama to head things out. Those who've had a chance to read the Cosmic Love webpage, have you had a chance to look at it?
Myself, personally?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Should I go there right now?
Yeah,
I'm looking at my own website.
I've got information up there regarding the times of the signs, which we've discussed in the last couple shows, and specifically information regarding Planet X, Wormwood, Nibiru, the 12th planet. There's must be 30 different names for it, and portents for what's coming. And on the website, I have a link people can click on this for this show regarding a crop circle that came up this last week. And a friend of mine, Gordon, emailed it to me with his decoding of it, how it relates to, from his perspective, his experience. And I've got a whole link on Gordon and where he's coming from as an interpreter of such signs. And he goes into how this indicates that a pole shift, major Earth changes are coming, as indicated in this crop circle, within the next 7 months. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing to say in itself. I go into this in the introduction on the show information for today. And I wanted to talk more specifically to Dennis about the psychology of preparedness and why it is that more people aren't preparing, and what does it require? What kind of a trigger event does it take to make people do something? You know, and what kind of trigger events are we looking at now? What kind of response he's seen in the industry in general? And basically, his philosophy on this. Now, Dennis, I should mention his philosophy. What would you say, professor, associate professor?
Well, that's a good question. You can call me whatever you want. Actually, it's an adjunct professor.
Adjunct professor.
Adjunct, yeah, which is basically means part-time. And I've had a chance to teach part-time at the community college here in our area.
Well, I know you do part-time with the food reserves, so maybe that's a good balance.
Well, yeah.
Keeping philosophical about earth changes.
Well, you can't do this without, let's say, a well-rounded approach to what's going on. I'm very fortunate to be able to be involved in philosophical issues for quite a long time, even about the same time that I was studying prophecies back in the late 60s, I was studying for my philosophy. This is after the whole Vietnam thing. And so I've been involved with that for quite a long time, and of course got involved in natural foods and emergency preparedness in about 1975. So I've been dealing with prophecies, with preparedness, philosophy, the whole thing.
And you've linked up with a lot of really leading experts in the field over the years. What have you been doing this, 30 years, you say?
It's been about 35.
About 35
everything
years.
Started about 19, as far as a business, it started about 1975. In terms of studying these issues, it's been about, 41 years that I first became aware of the fact that something is happening. And through some various prophecies and so forth that I had studied, and other people that I started to study, So it's been quite a long time that I've been involved in various aspects of this industry.
Well, I understand from talking to you previously that you you have a friend, James Stevens, who's sold about more preparedness books than just about anyone else. And it's one of the best books on preparedness. He doesn't sell products. He just sells a book called Making the Best of Basics.
Right.
And I know that you have information on your website, and I should have referenced that Dennis has a website called PrepareDirect. It's at preparedirect.com. And he also has a blog, and I have links to both his blog and his website on the Cosmic Love webpage. His blog is called, what was that again? Oh,
learn to prepare.com. Yeah, just
learntoprepare.com.
And that, of course, exactly is the informational site, although there's information on the product site also. But Learn to Prepare is more organized, so people can go in and check out the categories and the tags and the posts and so forth. And it covers quite a bit of information, not only on some of the things we're going to probably be talking about tonight from a more of a philosophical or psychological standpoint, but some very specific action steps to take, beginning and improving preparedness planning. I've recommended books on there. And in one popular area that I've gotten an awful lot of interest in, I have an article called Food Storage Packing, Do-It-Yourself Facts and Myths, because there's an awful lot of people that really would like to know what really is happening. And, I've got so many years into this. So you mentioned James. He's been around about the same amount of years as I have, and there's a few of us have been in the 35-year-plus range, and I've had a chance to learn an awful lot, and I can discern between what really is going on in terms of products and how to prepare and questions to ask and some of the information, unfortunately, that is floating around out there on the Internet from folks that are fairly new at this and are not quite up to speed as to what is truly going on. So I think it's important.
Well, whenever there's a bubble, you might say, of interest, like as in Y2K, I saw all kinds of overnight scammers surface,
yeah.
And I'm sure, you know,
there's
people, you know, right now because of all the 2012 stuff and all the 2012 websites, and a lot of people are just kind of waking up to it, freaking out and getting scammed. So, you know, buyer beware. That's why I have Dennis on the show. He's like a long-term stable company. Alpine Air Food Reserves is considered the long-term quality standard in the industry, and they're more the natural foods, whole foods, natural ingredients, whereas a lot of food reserve companies are basically just animal feed, or, you know, as you know that, Dennis, a lot of them are just bulk stuff with some other flavorings thrown in, and
exactly. You know, it's funny. I got a call a little earlier today from a fellow in Arizona, preparedness area down there, and he was talking about these various same things you're mentioning. The people in his particular church happen to have all kinds of bulk things that they have stashed away. But they're realizing that you just can't live on wheat and kidney beans for any extended length of time. So in the freeze-dried or the long-term storage area, there are a lot of very familiar foods, a lot of foods that are very easy to prepare, a lot of blended recipes and so forth. And this is where a lot of folks have been supplementing these very basic issues that you mentioned, the freeze-dried.
I've noticed I've been in the food reserve business off and on different cycles over many years. I used to be an active with the Latter-day Saints Church, and, of course, it's a doctrine virtually to have 2 years of food reserves if you're a good LDS, you know, Mormon. And I was in food reserves committee, 30 years ago in a branch back in Ohio. And back then I saw that the people were happy. I mean, the standard fare back then was all the what I call the four sins. I had a natural food store, and there was everything white. You know, it was the white flour, the white sugar, the white milk.
Yeah, exactly.
Powders.
A very unique perspective on what their idea of the basics were, and that's for a whole show in itself. I think people are moving away from that.
Yeah, they have been, and I have continued to serve different over the years during Y2K again, different organizations, church organizations, one that was specifically into holistic, natural, whole foods, everything, you know.
Right.
And I was working with them doing the bulk supplements, nutrition supplements, and just all kinds of preparedness, emergency preparedness supplies. And I've been fascinated to watch it evolve. And one of the things that has really interested me is these ceramic filters, these Berkefield filters that that can be cleaned and reused for a long time. And I think they're about 2 micron. They're 2 micron filters.
Well, point two actually.
Point two, yeah.
And Katadyn had, of course, a ceramic filter for many, many years. They're probably the standard in the outdoor industry, and also a lot of people that use it for emergencies. And so they have a ceramic filter, silver impregnated. You can kind of clean the outside off. And then you mentioned, it's now known as the Berkey.
The Berkey, yeah.
It used to be British Berkefeld, and then the company locally here started creating their own ceramic filters called the Black Berkey. Excellent ceramic. As a matter of fact, that's on our site too, the whole Berkey line.
Yeah.
And so they have a ceramic line, and those are the two companies that are pretty much known.
Yeah, I have was in the water purification industry working with a company back in Ohio years ago, and they were an original equipment manufacturer. And they had back then it was doing a series of filters, the pre-filters with the like they have on houses, and then, of course, the ceramic filters, and then the carbon filters to take out phenolics and other chemicals in the water. And from what I understand, if we are looking at a pole shift with earth changes and a lot of volcanism, it's going to be a real problem with contaminated water. And when I say that, the volcanism that is expected with severe earth changes will be spewing a lot of sulfuric and other chemicals into the air. And we'll get into the water and the water tables, and it's going to be and people that can't pump water out of wells, that if they haven't got if they haven't got electricity, which in a severe situation we won't, then they'll be taking it out of streams, and streams and runoff water will be extremely toxic. So it's going to be, the portents that I'm reading, and this is again the signs of the times that I put up with a link and a website with quite a few links that come at it from numerous different angles of what does it look like is coming and what are the portents and what are the possibility, the probabilities from a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different experts on the subject. So my interest in having you on, Dennis, is, of course, to balance out any, extreme fears anyone might have as far as, not being prepared or not, even having thought about it, but for serious people that are really looking to, what they can do, and I guess this is the big issue. What does it take for people? What kind of a trigger event does it take? Do people come out of cherished illusions, willful ignorance, or just, not being aware? So
that's right. And there's a couple of things that definitely we want to talk about that. I want to give you a little tip and your listeners a little tip, something you mentioned just a couple of sentences ago. Then let's move right into the triggering events and what to do first. We're up where we live, there's an awful lot of wells also. I'm up in the foothills of the Sierras, and so a lot of people rely on their wells. And most of these wells, I would presume, around the country, they're, 7-8 inches in diameter, something like that, 6-8 inches. And most of them, of course, are run by electricity. Every now and then you'll get a solar well, but then again, it depends on where you're living, how much you know, maybe the wintertime, you're not going to get a lot of sun. Who knows, with all these changes going on, there might be a cloudiness and so forth. And so what I've always recommended is one of two things. You just can't rely on electricity or even solar sometimes, is that either get a really good quality alternative hand pump, which are made, but even some of those have only a certain depth that they'll go down. If you have, a 500-foot well or whatever,
yeah,
300-foot well, or 200, hand pump may be difficult, and you're still relying on some mechanical issue. So here's my suggestion to folks if they're really relying on wells. First and foremost, get yourself at least whatever your depth of your well is. If it's 400 feet, you get yourself at least 400 or 500 feet of very good quality rope or what have you, some kind of material that is very, very sturdy. And if your well, let's say for the sake of discussion, let's just talk, let's say it's 6 inches in diameter, you take out your all the electrical stuff that goes down in there. Since you don't have electricity, you can just pull it out. And get yourself about a 4 or 5 inch diameter cylindrical tube of some kind. Put some weight on the bottom. I mean, this is all do-it-yourself stuff. Put some weight on the bottom. It could be rocks, it could be cement, it could be what have you. And then a little kind of cone unit on the top that has holes in it for water to get into, and also the big pieces of dirt won't get into, and a very sturdy way to attach it. And have the ability. It may take you a long time, but at least if
drop water's
an issue,
down and pull her out.
Drop it down all the way to where the water level is. Fill it up. Probably you would want it no more than maybe a 5 gallon capacity, because you know it's starting to be kind of heavy. Maybe
too heavy.
4 gallons. Whatever you can handle. Whatever was there. Maybe it even create a little a pulley effect. But the point is that you can just drop it down in these wells. And if you have the weight in there, it goes down in there, covers it up. You have the openings on your cone on the top of this cylinder, and water rushes in, and you pull it out, let's say through a pulley mechanism or what have you. And therefore, you'll always have access to your well water.
The well water, which is really going to be...
And it may be a big issue.
It could be a big issue. I mean,
yeah,
you got to have water, and you got to have
right.
Heat and shelter.
So that's something that I wanted to, you know, just a little something that people, the extent.
Good counsel. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And now, and which kind of ties in a bit with what we've been talking about, this idea of the triggering event and why are not more people preparing. I would think listeners to this program are probably more tuned in, with the things that are happening. So you get a higher percentage of folks that are conscientious. But I was talking to James, as a matter of fact, he's a fellow not too long ago, and his assessment, and I would agree with him, about 85% of the population is pretty tuned out. They don't have anything. You know, they really just don't. They may not even have a flashlight.
They don't see anything coming.
They're not. And we have to look at this from a community standpoint as well as our own personal and family issues. And so, therefore, we got a lot of folks out there that are not tuned in. And so even of the folks that are listening that are not being motivated, the question then becomes, why not? What's the resistance? And without spending, the rest of the whole program on it, I think, unfortunately, our whole society, we've grown up with a very unfortunate attitude of, well, there's always somebody out there to take care of me. The government, the family, the next-door neighbor, somebody. And so we are not really embracing personal responsibility.
Self-reliant living.
Yeah, self-reliant living, personal responsibility, take care of ourselves. And so it's almost an unconscious pattern behind us that says, well, I don't want to confront the realities of all these scenarios. And there's so many of them and the ones you've been talking about are obviously some of the more serious ones. We're not talking about you just lost your electricity for the weekend, or
yeah,
maybe it was a heavy snow and you can't get out of your driveway. Some of these scenarios
are... Or a temporary flood.
Yeah, although we're talking, and I go into detail, and I'll mention this at the end here a little bit, on some of these articles that I've written in depth. listing scenarios and how to deal with that. But the point is that a lot of folks, when they consider the serious scenarios, they have to consider the lifestyle changes that go along with it. And I just, my latest blog, I have Honesty, the Cornerstone of Preparedness Planning. You really have to be honest. You have to say, okay, look.
With yourself.
Exactly.
Honest
with ourselves. This is what may happen. I'll kind of visualize it. God forbid, is a pole shift. There's a volcano, major stuff. What does it look like? And a lot of folks just don't want to deal with that. It is very difficult, especially if you have families, mortgages, dreams and plans, your children. I mean, you know, everybody's got a different situation. I know my children, they have children, and you start talking too seriously about some of these things, they just don't want to hear it.
They'll just tune you out. And I know the phenomenon, you know, it's like when I say that, as humans, people tend to adapt to lower levels of health until their nose is running or they're in pain, you know. And it's the same thing having my finger on the pulse of the earth body. You know, you can see the increase of the frequency and intensity of earthquakes and volcanism over just the last year. And, I mean, I look at the charts. I mean, how many hundreds of earthquakes they'll have in California in a day? Now, the serious ones, the only ones we hear about, but, I mean, there's a lot of rocking and rolling going all over the earth, and those who track this stuff, and the exponential increase of frequency intensity of, I mean, all these, and these are signs of the times, obviously, but the reason for that, when you get into the electromagnetics of our solar system and our galaxy and how they're changing as the Earth and our solar system crosses the galactic plane, you know, of the whole stellar bodies in the galactic plane through the great central sun of our galaxy, which is a huge cycle that this doesn't happen except for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And there's all these cycles within cycles with the precession of the equinox, a 24,000 or 25,800-year cycle, all these other cycles converging. The Mayan calendar, people that are into that have been following. And what it's saying, the Mayan calendar and the experts on the subject, and I've had about a dozen of them on my show over the last couple years, they're all basically saying is that these cycles are converging. And they're converging in the way that the energetics of the planet, the energetics of all the planets in the solar system are changing, and the weather on all the planets of the solar system have been changing, not just the Earth.
Right.
Which kind of rules out global warming from petrochemicals. I mean, this is a phenomenon that's solar system-wide. And to really focus on this understanding of, you know, something really big is happening, and then factor in this Planet X thing that comes in around every 3,300, 3,600 years, call it Nibiru or Wormwood or the Destroyer or, you know, all the other dozens of names that throughout history have been known for us, and it's just really, and today I was talking with someone, oh, it was you, about what happened with Pharaoh and Moses, and what happened with a lot of the big drama that we read about then. That was the last time Planet X was back, and there was massive energetic changes, earth changes, and that's why all the serpents, were coming out of the earth, and the snakes, and and the insects were just swarming, is because the electromagnetic of the earth, they were coming out of the earth. It was hatching all kinds of, locusts and other, you know, insect hordes. And
you're sounding like the Book of Revelation here.
Well, this is actually the Old Testament.
I know, but some of the same issues going on.
It's true. It's the same issue. Anyway, it's like I haven't really been getting into all these different sources that have been documenting, you know, the correlations back then. And one of them is the Colburn Bible, which is a Bible of records from China, Egypt, of course, the Mayan, and all over the earth at that time of how the heavens changed because it was a pole shift. And other records of cataclysmic, you know, and of course, another cycle back before then when Planet X come back was the sinking of Atlantis. Now, that was a major pole shift. It was, I mean, a major pole shift with the deluge and all that. And of course, you know, back at the time of Moses and the Exodus into Israel in the 40 years, I mean, it was 40 years up in the mountains because they couldn't, you know, before they went into Israel, because they couldn't come down out of the mountains. The air was thinner up in the mountains, and they could breathe up there because of all the volcanism on the planet. That's one read I've had on all that. But some other interesting things I've read about that recently is that the hydrocarbons that came in with Planet X and in the tail, but that was the manna that fell from heaven. You know, hydrocarbons, you think of bread as, you know, it's carbon, and the hydrocarbons, right, that, you know, that were in the, and an interesting thing about how it was edible, and it fell from heaven, and Moses and them ate it. And I've read over the last couple of years the most fascinating correlations of this cycle of Nibiru as it comes in every 3,300, 3,600 years, and ancient records and what's going on the Earth. And, of course, if this is true, you know, and from not just the biblical perspective, not just the archaeological perspective, you know, the Earth strata and what that indicates about pole shift and cataclysmic change on the Earth, you know, worlds in collision and, or, you know, whatever, asteroids, different periods in Earth's history when major changes have happened. I have to look at this, connect the dots, and say, you know, what can you do to, I mean, if it's coming to a head within the next 7 months, within the next year, within the next 2 years, what can you do to prepare? I mean, what's the most effective preparations, you know, for one's limited resources? And
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, the food reserves is self-evident, whether people get, you know, doing a pantry program and just buying a few more things they can put away for long-term storage in their pantry, or I've been providing the, you know, the proscriptus and the Swedish pollen extract, and I think I've told you about the Swedish pollen extract.
Yeah, what is, tell me more about that. What exactly are these products?
Well, the pollen extract, I went to Sweden about 20 years ago and brokered it into the United States. And what that is that it's like royal jelly, standardized royal jelly without the bees. In other words, the Swedes developed the science of pollenology, which included archaeological dating with pollen husks, you know, in strata, earth strata down 10 feet. They could look at the microscopic pollen grains and tell by the character of the microscopic pollen husks what strata of the soil was. In other words, what year that was, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 15,000 years ago. The science of pollenology, they discovered and documented, and, you know, with the research, this historical dating method. But it was much more than that. They were the ones that really unlocked the secret of the pollen, the nucleic material, how different pollens have different micronutrient profiles for humans, what the ideal pollens are, combinations for human consumption, and how to harvest and select pollens without the bees, you know, for quality control. Because bees will bring back ragwood and other pollens, you know, that are highly allergic. So they were able to, and they researched on how to harvest select pollens, how to then remove the indestructible microscopic pollen husks to get the nucleic material out, and then how to pre-digest this raw extract with live enzymes to make it highly assimilable without any allergy effects. In other words, it's called low molecular weight that the body can assimilate easily. And the combination of that was really standardized nutraceutical-grade royal jelly rocket fuel without the bees. Of course, royal jelly is what the Chinese emperors used to pay for with its weight in gold to beekeepers back then, because they had all those concubines. And, of course, the queen bee has to lay thousands of eggs a day, you know, for years, and they're extremely fertile. And they're super bees. They're five times larger. They live about five times longer. And it makes a queen out of a worker, because they found out it isn't genetics that creates a queen bee. It's a worker bee or a drone larvae that gets the royal jelly from the time they're born. So this stuff is like micronutrient rocket fuel. And I found that, And the research in Europe, as they brokered into the United States, was that it builds immune function, like in the same way that beta carotene is a precursor for vitamin A in the body. You know, it's a precursor, so you can't have too much of it. You can get too much vitamin A; it's toxic, but you can't get too much of the precursor because the body will just produce what it needs. Well, it's the same thing with the pollen extract. It strengthens the glands and the endocrine system, the immune system, like nothing else, and including the white blood count of the body, and the body will heal itself then, whatever it's, you know, whatever stress. It's called an adaptogen because it helps the body, you know, adapt to stress. So these are the hormonals, they're called prostaglandin precursors for the body to produce hormones, which is the glands, which is the immune system, so the body will self-regulate, you know, will heal itself, will balance, and, you know, with white blood cells that go in and are like the killer cells to attack germs, infections, or whatever. Anyway, I've been brokering it for quite a few years, and to make a long story short, that's the pollen extract.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, for those of you just tuned in or tuned in later in the show, I'm talking with Dennis Korn. And Dennis is the founder of Alpenair Foods. He has a website called Prepared Direct, preparedirect.com. And he has a blog called learntoprepare.com, and he's an adjunct professor of psychology.
Philosophy. Yeah, can't get those mixed up.
Yeah, you can't get those mixed up. Yeah, we got it all right. Compartmentalized as far as the wisdom factors.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, Dennis is a long-time expert, friend of experts and practicing expert on the subject of food reserves and high-quality food reserves, how to produce them, how to prepare them. And he's got books on his website, information on his web, articles on his website that are priceless for anyone that's serious about the subject.
Yeah, so, I go into quite a bit of detail because I do believe that information is extremely important, and over the many years that I've done this, unfortunately, the question is, who do you trust? There's a lot of information out there that isn't as accurate as it ought to be, and so folks are really wanting to know, gee, how do I know? I've been fortunate that probably not too many people in my position. I have been a retailer, kind of like yourself. I've retail these products.
A health food store.
Yeah, I've been in the natural food business for a long, long time, and then I moved into manufacturing and development. So we're not only with manufacturing or packaging all these different backpacking camping foods, all natural, and of course ready to eat, just add water, and it lent itself to the emergency preparedness market. And so we just evolved the company at the time for backpacking camping foods, and then added a whole line called Gourmet Reserves, which was the emergency preparedness canned line. And so I've done that, and of course a lot of research over the years, talked to many, many people, like what's going on right now, for example, which is interesting, the do-it-yourself, a lot of do-it-yourself people wanting to know, you know, how do I package my own product? What are some of the guidelines and parameters? Well, when I was manufacturing, I had to do direct-to-source research. For example, which pouches, which foil laminated pouches are the best and produce the best barriers and so forth. Plastic buckets is a big deal. A lot of people are running around out there throwing food in them. They don't quite understand the limitations of these things.
I know someone here, I know locally, that got a whole bunch of buckets back at Y2K, and there was someone over in Bozeman at the university testing food reserves of people around the area, and found out that his food had gone toxic in the buckets that had no liners since Y2K, and he just gave it to a guy who made methane out of it with a bio...
very, very, a lot of interesting stories out there, and I go into great detail on some of these articles, but the point is that I've done this. I talk to the manufacturers. I don't just make this stuff up. I don't wander around the internet to see who else has got an opinion. And so I want people to know that any of the information that they find there, and so what we're going to talk about is this issue of the triggering event. And so this, let me mention what this means and how it relates to what we're talking about. What I've discovered over all these years, and we've already been talking about, is that there's an awful lot of resistance and reluctance to get started. And to get, and they say there's a lot of reasons for it, and especially now we've all grown up, and things have been fairly okay. It's hard to relate to a change in lifestyle, a change in circumstance that is so dramatic that it's not in our ability to comprehend it. So most folks will, in fact, just discount it and say, well,
things aren't that bad.
Yeah, it can't be. I mean, I pulled
can't be that bad.
Yeah, I can't relate to that. And yet there are folks, for whatever reason, are tuning into this at a different level. It's not necessarily the level of past experience or scientific, logical assumptions of things. Because I teach critical thinking, and that's an interesting subject to see what it's like in the current scheme of things. And when you come to issues like we're talking about, it requires a different level of what we would call critical thinking. You got to go a little bit beyond everything that's logical
mind.
And reasonable. Yeah, you got to tune into the heart and tune.
You want an open. Your mind's so open that your brains fall out. You want to have a discerning mind.
That's right. That's been my whole thing. Don't have an open mind. Anything can fall into that. It's like an open pit. You want a discerning mind, and discernment requires a whole different level of understanding. So anyway, so you've got all these people that are resisting this whole thing. So I wrote this article. It's a short one. It's called Emergency Preparedness, What's the Triggering Event? And so what I at least ask people to do, and I think especially people listening to this program, they're already tuned in to a certain extent to what's going on, is that, okay, maybe you haven't started yet, keep your eyes open. Maybe sit down some with friends, family, whatever, and write this down in paper and say, okay, what are some of these scenarios? Pole shift, volcanoes, flooding, this, that, EMPs, all kinds of
electromagnetic
horrible things.
Pulse, yeah.
Yeah, electromagnetic pulse. Anything that could make a significant issue in my life, and some of them may even be minor ones. And say, okay, I don't even have the money, I don't have the motivation. However, I think things might happen. So you write down what a triggering event would look like in all of those scenarios. Now, some of these, of course, are going to be difficult to figure out. If a tornado, you're living in Oklahoma, and you don't have enough time to do anything. But, say, hurricanes, you got a couple of days. Or let's say a pole shift issue. You're going to begin to see things happening ahead of time. Is it an economic collapse? Is
it
martial
law? Like a pole
shift,
for example, from the data sources I'm getting, and I posted on that website, Signs of the Times website, that we will be able to see Planet X in the skies clearly. Now, 7 weeks, everyone will be able to see it 7 weeks. Before the pole shift. And the source on that is this guy, Gordon. I provide a link to him on the Cosmic Law website. And I really suggest people check his out because from multiple articles and information and talking with him, he really checks out in credible terms for me.
Yeah,
and,
so this is exactly.
Again,
this is. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
What I'm going to say, it all comes down to if it's true, there will be earth changes coming to a neighborhood near you.
Well, yeah, and even if you're skeptical, and I'm the skeptical type. I've studied a lot of this stuff, and that may very well be another reason, depending on how long people have studied prophecies and so forth. I've heard a lot of prophecies that are supposed to have come to pass over the last, you threw out the number, 10, 20
years.
Oh,
yeah, me too.
30 years, and nothing seems to happen.
Like Y2K prophecy.
Yeah, Y2K was an interesting one. And
that was an interesting one, yeah.
And I remember when I, right about the same time that the Gourmet Reserve Line went on, there was a lot of concern from, say, a political standpoint.
Yeah, and nuclear political,
taking over the country. I mean, there was all kinds of things. That really never came to pass. And so there were things that people kind of said, just something. And we could go on. There was all kinds of
Well, I should add on Y2K that I had a speaker come out here, Carla Emery, who did the book Encyclopedia of Natural Living, and she lectured out here. She'd been lecturing all across the country. She told me there was 5 cities that she was in where their power plant blew up, and it made the local papers, but it wasn't national. And there was also 2 oil refineries that blew up on 9/9/99, which was one of the trigger dates.
Mm-hmm.
In California, and they kept that out of the news. I mean, it was just limited, but they didn't, you know, they didn't dwell on it because it was really, the panic was such, the food reserve orders back at that time were just so massive, no one could keep up with it.
Yeah, those were interesting times. But
those were interesting times.
And not only was it, I think it was valuable, obviously, it raised the consciousness and awareness of folks, but still, a lot of people came out saying, just another something that's not going to happen. And so we go on and on and on, and there's a built-in skepticism, and even with 2012, this could be nothing, don't worry about it. So it's built in. So the point is this. Is that if you suddenly see a triggering event, I would also encourage people to get some idea of what are they going to do about it. There are certain things that you ought to always have. And here's the other difficult thing for a lot of people and why they resist it. Most folks are in pretty good shape. However, there's a lot of people that have medical issues, a lot of issues out there. In it's very difficult to plan ahead of time, and medical is probably one of the key ones. If you have certain drugs that you're required to have, maybe certain visitations of the doctor, you need dialysis. There's all kinds of things.
Can't imagine what life would be like without it.
Well, and the elderly. Mm. Maybe you have elderly parents, or maybe you are elderly, or what have you. And you're absolutely dependent on your doctor to give you the drugs and the shots and who knows what other therapies you're in. And you're not really tuned in a whole lot to this, so therefore you've just relied on your friends or the government or the
I doctors. Think people rely on the media like it's like their conscience almost.
Yeah,
that the media wouldn't really lie to if something was really serious, that tell us the truth. I remember in Y2K, things were really booming because of the Internet. And what happened is that the government orchestrated and began a massive national campaign with full-page articles in newspapers all over, in major metro newspapers and all across the country, that this was completely bogus, and they emphasized the horror stories of little old ladies being taken advantage with by food scammers.
I remember that.
And you know what happened? Within a month of that campaign, the food orders just dropped off to nothing. And they were massive. I mean, I was doing $4,000 a day average in food reserve orders for about 2 months, and then it dropped off with this campaign to nothing. And the amazing thing is the power elite, the mainstream, the corporate media, or whatever you want to call it, they learned that reality is perception, and they have been debunking this Planet X that they've been following since 1983. NASA has been following, and there's been all kinds of leaks of information from observatories all over the world, which they're trying to suppress this information, but. It's interesting how they've been doing perception management on the whole issue of this Planet X that's into our solar system now and coming in between the sun and the earth over the next several months. And the way they're debunking this and the whole issue of the electromagnetics of our solar system, the sun, and how the sun has been changing and going through dramatic, unprecedented changes with the electromagnetics of this body from deep space that's come back into our solar system on this 3,600-year orbit. I mean, the perception management is so intensive, and people just can't believe that our government would not tell us the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly. You have a whole portion of the society that just can't relate to that. You know, so that's this issue of the triggering event is at least people will be prepared to keep their eyes open. And if there are issues like medical issues or what have you, you just really got to set this up ahead of time and be ready to jump on it right away. And of course, as you well know, you mentioned in the story of Y2K, a lot of the folks, there's only so many preparedness companies and only so many preparedness manufacturers.
Yeah.
And, should there be enough issues happening to stimulate that,
they just couldn't keep
up. Long lines of, people, waiting, yeah, hurry up, give me my stuff, I need it immediately and so forth, or they'll go down to their local Costco or what have you. And it's just something that I wanted people to be a little bit more aware of, that if you're going to do nothing, at least, be aware of some of these events, as you mentioned,
and looking,
may occur
and
ahead of time.
Keeping your eye open for different signs, like I said.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when it starts appearing in the heavens, there's going to be a lot of debunking. There's going to be a lot of people saying, well, I didn't see that. It's like I've known a lot of people that have seen UFOs and then two or three days later didn't want to talk about it, and then a week or two later, it didn't happen.
Yeah, we talk, how many volcano eruptions and how many earthquakes in a row have to happen before maybe people realize, something's going on here?
Good question. Yeah, good question.
Also here is time is, just wanted to mention to folks, because you and I had talked about this, just trying to help people out here, a couple of things. If you go on in the sites, on the Learn to Prepare especially, as you see, you'll see a fairly decent line of articles here, not only something that we've talked about, but very specifically beginning and improving preparedness planning and how to do it yourself. And there's a whole bunch of different articles on people at various stages in their preparation. I especially have an affinity for the person who is hasn't really quite started yet, or doesn't really have any ideas of where do you get started, and you know, help me out, give me some action steps, or maybe they have family members or so forth. Well, there is
I highly recommend listeners, if you get a chance, to look at Dennis's blog, his the learntoprepare.com, www.learntoprepare.com, and his website PrepareDirect. And for listeners of the show, if you've listen through to this point and would like to get your bonus for listening, there's a 10% bonus for those who order on Dennis's website, and that's preparedirect.com. And when you check, and you'll get that 10% discount when you check out with your order. You put in a code, and the code is number 53110, and I've listed that code and that information regarding this website on the
Cosmic Love. The end of the month, and that's where people wonder where it's from.
Through
it's
the end of
May
the month,
31st.
There you go.
So, yeah. So that's
so it's a limited time offer through the end of the month, and I've put that information on the Cosmic Love website that you can click on that link through the end of the month.
I have no problem. Tell your friends about it. It's for listeners and listeners' friends and relatives and associates and what have you. And
there
it's for the entire or anything. I mean, we have some fairly expensive food systems, should some people want to do that, and it applies to everything. There's no minimums. And by the way, on just about everything you order over $100 or $99, there's free shipping. So that's to keep in mind.
And you're shipping within 2 to 3 weeks as a general rule, aren't you? I mean,
right,
you're not overwhelmed right now with
no, we still
orders.
Have exactly right now is pretty good. Alpine Air, having obviously founded Alpine Air, I still I don't own it currently, but I am one of their major distributors, of course, and I talk to them all the time. They're not very far from here. And so I, things are still, they've grown quite a bit. The new owner has put in some incredible equipment. And so he's doing fine in terms of being able to get things out pretty quickly at this point.
Well, I'm going to have to do a wrap with our time. We're going to have the kind of a meditation here at the end of the show like we usually do.
Yeah, so one last thing. And a lot of people wonder why I do this, but I have no problem. Let me give you my phone number.
Your
listeners, of course, it's on the websites under About Us and so forth. But if the listeners want to call me directly, I enjoy talking to people. My 800 number is 800 775-1991. That's
there you go.
775-1991. It's an 800 number.
Well,
and,
I want to thank.
Feel free to call me.
I want to thank you, Dennis, for being on the show today, and I want to thank listeners. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Happy trails until then. And
thank you.
No, you're welcome, Dennis. And
okay.
we'll do it again sometime.
Okay, Christopher. Thank you. Bye bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on Earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.